Now it's time for our weekly look at top news stories around the state. And joining us as usual is Rob Menser. He's a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, good to have you back.
Thanks.
So let's talk first about an investigative report that came out this week revealing that a former Wisconsin priest, Thomas Erickson, was recently arrested for sexual assaults he committed in the 1980s, despite the fact that he actually confessed to those crimes 2 years ago. First of all, can you give us an idea of how he was able to commit these assaults?
Right. Erickson was a priest in Rhinelander, Rice Lake, and Winter, Wisconsin, which is in Sawyer County, and he was a sexual predator. He groomed and sexually abused boys that he met through his work with the church. He did, as a priest, did a lot of work with youth who were involved in those Catholic churches, and so he left the priesthood in 1988. Shortly thereafter, there was a civil settlement that the diocese paid to several victims, not the same victims as those involved in the charges from this week, but essentially, I mean, that was how it worked, and this is just long continued fallout 30 years later from other victims who came forward to police.
So he confessed to these crimes 2 years ago, but was only arrested last week. Why was there a delay like that?
Well, you know, I want to be a little cautious. I can't claim to know the inner workings of the Sawyer County District Attorney's office, but we do know that one thing that changed is that a reporter with USA Today Network just a few weeks ago began to file open records requests seeking information about the investigation, started calling the office and asking for a comment on the case. So it seems at least possible that that was a factor here.
And one of the victims, a man now living in Merrill, was willing to talk about his experiences for that story, as you said, from USA Today Network Wisconsin. What did he have to say about how the assaults have affected him over the years?
Right. This is really my colleagues have been working on this story in some form for years. Because he came forward to an editor with USA Today Network Wisconsin and wanted to speak about the long-term effects on his life, the sort of psychological burdens, I guess, from having someone that as a kid that he trusted who took advantage of him in that way, and then more recently the way that he's felt consumed by the case and wanting justice, I guess, and also feeling frustrated that after he made the decision to speak to police, that was in 2011, and then has waited years before seeing any charges brought.
And before we move on, Rob, what's the next step in this case?
Well, so these are the first charges to be brought. Erickson was arrested in Minnesota, so he will be extradited to Wisconsin. Could take a while as these processes sometimes do. And the other thing that sometimes happens in these cases is, more victims can come forward. So that is something that we will watch for. And it is possible that that the DA will hear from others who were abused by Erickson.
We're talking with Rob Menser right now. He's a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, and he is based in Wausau, taking a look at some of the big news stories around the state this week. Now, Rob, the state Supreme Court ruled this week that GPS trackers that police might use during investigations do not require a search warrant in the same way that a lot of other property does. Before looking at the ruling, can you tell us about the case itself?
So, yeah, the police wanted to catch a burglar who had broken into several businesses in Mequon, had actually picked locks to get in, but he wasn't supposed to be there. He stole a bunch of stuff. And so police got a search warrant that allowed them to put a GPS tracker on the suspect's car and they put it on his car 10 days later, and then later used the information that they got to arrest and charge him with these crimes.
And this was a unanimous decision by the court. What reasoning did they give for finding that the rules of a traditional search warrant don't apply for these GPS trackers?
Right. So the way to understand it, I mean, so they had a search warrant, so they were allowed to put this GPS tracker with a normal search warrant when it's like when police get a search warrant to actually do a physical search of your house or your car or whatever. The law says that they need to do that within 5 days. That kind of makes sense. The idea is that they're looking for something specific. We don't want police departments just sitting on old warrants and then going to search someone's place, whatever, a year later or something. So in this case, though, they exceeded that 5-day limit. It was 10 days, right? What the court found, and it was a unanimous decision, there's not a partisan split here, is that a GPS tracker is a little different because they're not seeking property, they're not seizing data, or other like materials, and therefore that statutory limit was not did not preclude police from using that evidence in this case.
And Rob, last week we talked with you about Governor Walker's suggestion that Republicans could move the date of the 2020 presidential primary so that it wouldn't be on the same ballot as a state Supreme Court election where a conservative justice will be up for re-election. Since then, election clerks around the state have been weighing in on this. And what's the general consensus?
Yeah, they don't like it. They are against it. They're way against it. I think it's probably not surprising, right? This is that move would create a lot of new logistical work. It's a whole new election that the clerks would need to run. There's an estimate that it would cost taxpayers about $6.8 million to do that. But there are a number of other complications that were raised this week by the president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association and others, including that to do this, it would mean that by the law, when clerks accept absentee ballots, they would be accepting different ballots at the same time. Totally different ballots could be submitted in the same period, and so that could lead to voter confusion, but also could mess up ballot counts and just make it hard for them to track what is coming in. So there's like a bunch of logistical issues or concerns, in addition to, I guess, what you know, the things you might understand or expect, that they got to have new poll workers and sort of run a whole new election.
Well, Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was Rob Menser, a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us at this time every week to take a look back at some of the biggest state news stories of the week.
Coming up today, it seems like we can get just about anything delivered right to our door. But back in the early 1900s, you could order an entire house to be delivered in bits and pieces. We talked to an architectural historian about the history of mail order homes in Wisconsin and beyond.
Stay with us here on Central Time.